We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. The Issues, etc. 300.
High def camera on.
My girlfriend Katie, she thinks there's something in the house. I don't know.
You believe me, right?
Doors are locked, alarm is on.
If anything walks through here, it's gonna leave a pretty good footprint.
Did you hear that? Oh my god.
There's footsteps in, but there's no footsteps out.
You cannot run from this, it will find you.
This woman, same things happen to her.
Oh, God. I feel it breathing on me.
Looks like something bit you.
You stop following me with the camera!
I'm in control.
You got this!
Paranormal activity.
Please, 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 please.
Well, that's the trailer for what they're calling the scariest movie in decades, Paranormal Activity. Joining us to review it, Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer. He's director of admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article titled Paranormal Activity, Newest Nail-Biting Fright Fest You Won't Soon Forget. Scott, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Great. It's good to be here.
Are you still shaking? Is it as scary as everybody says it is?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to have to sleep with my light on for the next 10 or 15 years to kind of recover. Am I still shaking? Yeah, a little. It is pretty scary. Anytime you call something the scariest movie of all time, you're kind of setting it up to fail. So I don't know if it's the scariest ever. But, as far as scary movies go, this one would rank definitely in my top five.
What is so scary about it?
Well, what's kind of fun about this film is really what it is its restraint. So often in scary movies or horror films, what they do is they overshow, in my opinion. They try to scare you with gore and special effects and violence and jump out, things jumping out at behind the scenes. But this one really kind of plays more on your imagination. And it just made me, transported me back to my childhood, to those times of staying up with friends and maybe telling scary stories or something and scaring each other. I mean, it has that sort of, I guess, juvenile sort of appeal to it.
How would you respond to somebody who says, I mean, we've only got about 30 seconds here before the break. Someone says, you got no business seeing movies like this. You're a pastor, Scott.
Yeah, I understand, and but at the same time, this is a huge pop culture phenomenon right now. A lot of people are seeing this. A lot of young people are seeing it. It may be the most profitable movie of 2009. It's helpful to have some pastors out there who can respond to that and at least react to it.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the movie Paranormal Activity. We promise no spoilers, so we'll try not to give anything away. And we'll also talk in general about the horror genre. I'd like to know if Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer has taken my recommendation and seen Zombieland, which I thought was kind of a buddy movie in the end, and it was pretty darn funny, too. We're looking at the movie Paranormal Activity on this Thursday afternoon, October the 29th. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter your questions or comments to us at issuesetc. A little bit later, we'll talk about Martin Luther on the forgiveness of sins. Dr. Ben Mays will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
We We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. The Issues, etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in Word and Sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc., reviewing the movie Paranormal Activity with Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, the 29th of October. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. The horror genre, scary movies, things like that, raises natural questions about the nature of fear. And the Bible has a lot to say about our fears, what we really ought to fear, as opposed to what sometimes we do fear. Your thoughts there, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, the horror genre is hard to kind of put your finger on in one way, because you can have horror westerns and horror romances and horror science fiction. It's really not a genre like other genres. It's about an emotion, horror or terror or being afraid. And that's not always bad. Now, I'm not defending a lot of the really, you know, miserable stuff that comes out as horror fiction and horror movies. But I think that as Christians, we have to have a little bit of an openness to some of this, because there are real things that we should be concerned about in life, real things that should frighten us. And so anyway, I think fear isn't always a negative.
You say we are wary. Things that go bump in the night or in the hallway outside your bedroom, sometimes yeah. Rightly so. What do you mean?
Well, you know, I mean, I as a pastor, I was always kind of intrigued by how people are, you know, our culture is at the same time very scientific, very rational, very clinical, but also there's this real strong thread of superstitiousness and, you know, an openness to the paranormal and UFOs and whatnot. And so as a pastor, I think we have to know how to address people about things like the demonic, for instance. Things like demon possession. Is it real? Does it exist? That's a very popular topic in films and so on. And as Lutheran Christians who believe that the scriptures are truthful and relevant for today, you know, it seems like demonic possession and the casting out of evil spirits was a pretty significant part of Jesus' ministry. So, you know, I think on the one hand, it is important for us to acknowledge the reality of those things, not to become enslaved by fear, but to have a sort of healthy sobriety about that we don't always have. I think even as Christians, we let ourselves become too rationalistic.
That is kind of strange that, oddly enough, I mean, you're right, young people today especially, while skeptical of many traditional religious beliefs, are incredibly open to the point of gullibility about things like this, especially the paranormal. But it is odd to note that we do have a strange affinity here, that as Christians, we can definitively say that such a world does, we won't call it the paranormal, but such a world does exist. What should we know about this unseen world? Not all of it. Do we need to fear all of it?
No, I mean, I think that a lot of the people that I've talked to, particularly youth, it seems to me that a lot of the theology, so-called, that they've learned has come from movies, you know, has come from television and popular culture. So there's, they think they know a lot about the devil and demons and how you become possessed and what you do if you do become possessed and haunted houses and so on and so forth. So I'm like C.S. Lewis. I think that the dangers here are twofold. We can either have an unhealthy fascination with these things, but it's equally dangerous for us to become, unconcerned about them. And as he says, he's just as happy whether you're a naturalist or a Wiccan, basically, the devil is. And so we have to have that balance. We don't want to become enslaved to fear or, we have victory in Christ, and he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But at the same time, evil spirits do exist. The tempter is our enemy prowling around, and we should be wary.
Folks, it's Thursday afternoon, 29th of October. If you have a question or a comment about the movie Paranormal Activity or the horror genre in general, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also Twitter us @issuesetc. I think about the fact that demons are real, that the unseen world is occupied by real beings, unseen, immaterial, that can actually mean me harm. But at the same time, I clearly see the Bible's teaching that in that same realm, there are allies of God, servants of God, the angels. I mean, just as much as I may fear a demon creeping down the hall toward me, I've got an angel guarding the door, don't I?
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point too. I think the supernatural world, if you want to use that kind of terminology, is inhabited by God's messengers, God's angels, as well as fallen angels. But I always think it's very interesting, even in the New Testament, when a holy angel appears, usually the first things out of the angel's mouth is, don't be afraid. Speaking to the shepherd, speaking to Mary, don't be afraid. There's even something about the holy angels that when they appear or are active, does instill within us a certain, and should make us tremble a little bit. So that's what I was saying earlier. Fear isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes fear is precisely the way we ought to feel in a given situation.
You say that after watching the film, which is kind of a mock documentary of this couple trying to chronicle their experiences, their paranormal experiences, your only regret is at the end, that in the end, they didn't call their pastor. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, this is a story. I don't want to give away much about the plot because that's really kind of critical to, if you do see it, to enjoy it. But they're trying to solve their problem. They clearly have some kind of a problem. This isn't in their minds, and they're trying to solve it. And they reach out to various people to try to help them, but it just strikes me as a little funny that the kinds of people they're reaching out to, I had people come to me in my parish ministry and say, Pastor, there's some weird things going on in our house. Could it be haunted? Then I would have to do some teaching, and we would do some praying and some, things together like that. But I had people who would come to me as their pastor or the neighbor of one of my parishioners or something with these fears. Going to a priest or a cleric seems like a pretty good idea if you think you've got a demon roaming in your house.
The Bible seems to depict the devil not so much in kind of creeping around the corner, making sounds that drive you under the bed sheets at night, but as someone who ultimately wants to rob us of our faith in Jesus Christ. What is the devil's main goal with us, and how in the world do we answer it from the Word of God?
Well, I think that the devil's main objective is to simply kill us. I think he just hates us. We're bearers of the image of God. He hates God. I think he's a destroyer. He's a murderer. I don't want to try to give it too much logic, even. He doesn't have some kind of plan. He just hates. And he strikes out at us, and of course he wants to drag us not only into the death of our bodies, but to, as you said, to pull us away from faith in Christ. But nonetheless, in the Gospels, the demoniacs, you know, their demon possession was often accompanied by pretty remarkable things. It was extreme strength. The one fellow running around naked in a cemetery, the girl in Acts who could foretell the future. You know, there are these sorts of bizarre phenomena, for want of a better term, that often accompany demonic possession and demonic oppression. And I think instilling fear in people is part of his, you know, part of his sort of approach. You know, he wants to make them afraid because the opposite of faith is fear.
So should we, when we go to a movie like this, I mean, a lot of it is being manipulated by the craft of the director and whatnot, but should we be afraid when we see something like this?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know if I want to say I'm recommending people see this movie. I'm not recommending that they do, but I think it's interesting as an example of what our society thinks. I think that we as human beings naturally we naturally want to tell stories. And so I think if you want to learn about people, you look at the kind of stories they tell. And this is a great story, well told, and it is well put together for a low budget film like this. But it, like I said, it reminded me a lot of the kinds of stories that kids tell at Halloween, and with Halloween just around the corner, that's on my mind. The kinds of stories we tell, and you know, this film tries to make you afraid by pointing out, you know, that there is something out there besides what we can just sort of analyze scientifically. And so, I mean, there's some value to that, but it's not trying to kind of open people up to the gospel or anything to that extent.
So then, with only 30 seconds, what's your best piece of advice that you could give to a Christian about horror films or films like Paranormal Activity?
Be discerning. You know, we don't paint everything with the same brush. Really, what is most important is, what effect does this have on the viewer? And that would be true of any film. What effect does it have on the viewer? Not just so much what is the theme or genre.
Pastor Scott Stiegelmeyer, Director of Admissions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article titled Paranormal Activity, Newest Nail-Biting Fright Fest You Won't Soon Forget. You'll find this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, October the 29th, we'll spend with Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Publishing House. He's managing editor for a new series of Luther's works, new editions of English editions of Luther's works published by Concordia Publishing House. Of course, Luther's central theme is always the forgiveness of sins. And we'll take up that subject, Martin Luther the Reformer, on the forgiveness of sins, with Dr. Ben Mays on the other side of this break. Our call-in number for the next half hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us with questions or comments at @issuesetc. Martin Luther on the forgiveness of sins with Dr. Ben Mays, right after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Social conservatives consider new strategy.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
since the inauguration of Barack Obama, social conservatives have seen numerous setbacks, including the reversal of previous rules on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, the loss of jobs protections for pro-life health workers, and federal funding for abortion. In the face of this, conservative leaders are regrouping. The Susan B. Anthony List has signaled a new strategy with an initiative called Votes Have Consequences. Headed by Marilyn Musgrave, it will focus on lawmakers whose views on abortion do not match their constituents. For pro-lifers, now more than ever, every vote counts.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.